everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 8th of August already at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that you can find us over in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. However, if you would rather watch than listen, and I have a lot to show you today, so I would recommend that you do, head over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find me there. Simple enough. I'm live streaming, so just search for me, and that's you should find me. I also put a link to my live stream in the chat room so that you can find it there as well. So much good stuff going on, and I would love to see you. How is everybody? It's been kind of a weird period. I know I say that probably too much, but here we are. Yes, happy Lionsgate. Thanks, Renee. And hello, Liliane. Oh my gosh, you guys. Have I been working on stuff? So, spent most of Sunday and Monday glazing, pottery and painting and glazing ceramic pieces for a test run in our new kiln. We bought a new big kiln for pottery. We're going to sell off the little ones and just stick with a big one because that makes more sense for what we do. Hey, Sid and Sherry. So it's big test run was last night, and this morning I got up and it was still too hot to unload, but I can see some treasures in there. So I don't know what I'm doing. So we'll see how this turns out. It looks like we're going to be okay, I think. I didn't see any catastrophes. Which, well, you know, in the world of the kiln gods, there's always a catastrophe. So there might be something lurking under there. There's several layers of shelving in that kiln. So who knows? But I'll do a video of a kiln opening for you later from that. But I actually have some glass to share with you. I actually, I had to really discipline myself a little bit because my whole head is in pottery right now, and I really have a lot of glass that wanted to be finished and posted, so I've done so. At least I'm working on it. I've got one Etsy listing up, so I'm still a ways from that, but I wanted to show you what I did have thus far. These necklaces, they're all pendants, and I'm in love with them because the process of making them is so amazing. To make this glass, you make a big stack. Mine were 10 pieces. So 10 squares of glass that I cut to be the same size as each other, stacked them up in a big stack. I did that with three or four different colors, put them in the kiln, fuse them up to 1550 degrees. And then when they cool, you put them in a bag and you bash them up with a hammer. And then you take those pieces and you put them back in the kiln and you heat them again to a full fuse to 1550 degrees. And then if you like them, great. And if you don't, you break them up again, which is what I did. So most of these pieces have been back into the kiln three or four times to get the shape and also all the uniqueness of them. So bear in mind, this was just a stack of glass at one time that has now like melded and fused together in all these interesting combos. So I'm going to show you a series of videos. Sorry for the road noise. I should have taken the sound out. I didn't do that, but here we are. So those are all the ones that'll get posted on Etsy today. I have to say, I'm in love with them. I don't think pictures can possibly do them justice. The depth of everything that's going on in there is pretty amazing. And of course, it's some opaque glass and some translucent glass, so you get both the best of both worlds in them. But I couldn't recreate a piece like this if I wanted to. Like, I could do something similar, but these are absolutely unique. So, anyway, super excited about it, and I just love them. A lot of them, yeah, the green ones, some of them especially look like malachite. There's actually some of them that have kind of the swirls inside of them, like malachite, which is pretty cool. So, I'll show you the one Etsy listing I have up thus far. Okay, and that is this one, and I'll share a link with you in the chat room as well. But hopefully, all things considered, hopefully I have these posted by the end of today, all of them up onto Etsy. There are more, but I just picked out a handful of each color to get at least something, going. Honestly, posting my work is the least reliable thing I do. Which is crazy, but here we are. So, yep. So in the green, there's either the antique bronze or there's the silver piece. But either way, I'm absolutely in love with the greens. They are so pretty and so unique. So anyway, that's what I have going on over there, and more to come, obviously, but I'm just excited. Good stuff happening. Hey, Quelly and Laurie. So last week, we had talked about more of the Venus goddesses, talking more about the archaeological finds of the Venus goddesses that were mainly Paleolithic little statuaries and effigies that were found, that have been found over the years, and the significance of those. Sit that, how did I get the glass size to fit precisely in the setting? They look perfect. Luck. I have a bunch of them. I made a bunch of it and just had picked out the ones that would work. I know. I wish I had a better answer. That's all there is. So I did do a great deal of research, and I have a really interesting presentation for you today about the Venus goddesses. So let's get Luminous on the screen here. Let's see. No. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir. I like that even better. Okay. Maybe I can blow Luminous up a teeny bit. I would like a little less of me and more of, yeah, that'll do it. That's good. Okay. All righty. So here we go. So I wanted to talk about these goddesses because, I know that some of you guys had expressed last week that you were unfamiliar with the Venus of Willendorf. And knowing that there's a lot more Venuses besides her, I thought this would be a great time to talk about more of them and a little bit more history about where they were found and what we know about them and what their significance is and things like that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Obviously, I called the magazine Ancient Venus, because that's what we're talking about. I think what I'm going to do, I actually created a slideshow. So, in my musings, this is the article, but I thought I would break it down for you a little bit more and do a slideshow so I could show you a picture of what this particular statuette or effigy looks like, and then we can talk about it. But let's talk about the Venus figurines. So they have been found across Europe, Africa, and parts of Asia. They represent some of the oldest and most significant symbolic artifacts in human history. They are small, stylized carvings of women. Some of them have really exaggerated features. They reflect a deep spiritual connection to the cycles of life. Many of them are a reflection of fertility, of the divine feminine, and also of the harvest. Pardon me, depending on the region. So each of the Venuses, of course, they give us some kind of a look into the spiritual and cultural practices of ancient peoples. I think in a world that has become so patriarchy heavy and male god dominated, it's important for us to recognize that that's not the way it was always was. There's been plenty of goddess worship on this planet throughout the millennia. So let's talk about some of the Venuses. All right, this is the Venus of Bekaret-Ram. So she was found in Bekaret-Ram, Golan Heights, Israel, in 1981. Her estimated age is 230,000 years old. Her spiritual significance, she's considered to possibly be the oldest known Venus. However, that could be debated, but that's in a lot of the archaeological circles, that's what people believe. Again, she was discovered in 1981 in Golan Heights. She's from basalt. She may represent a more stylized depiction of the human body. Her age pushes the boundaries of what we know about symbolic representations, suggesting that humans had a concept of the divine feminine far earlier than previously thought. To find an effigy this old, 230,000 years old, is really significant. The idea that there has been some sort of effigy worship, goddess worship, that's that old is that's pretty powerful. Spirituality in this period would have been centered on animism, which is the reverence of life-giving forces, likely focusing on the cycles of nature and fertility, of course. But pretty amazing, right? 230,000 years old. Okay. The Venus of Tantan. She was discovered in Tantan, Morocco. She was found in 1999. Her estimated age is 300,000 to 500,000 years old. So obviously that's why there's some argument about whether or not the Venus of Bekaret-Ram could be the oldest, or if it could possibly be Tantan. So she was carved out of quartzite that is found in Morocco. Again, she could be the earliest known representation or one of them. She dates back to the lower Paleolithic, much older than the upper Paleolithic Venuses like the goddess of Willendorf and others. Her facial features and human-like characteristics could symbolize early humans' recognition of fertility and feminine. It may have been a tool for invoking spiritual protection or fertility. It could also just be an attribute of early spirituality and survival and the power of womanhood. But I think she's so interesting with her arms and her hooks on her hands. Anyway, 300,000 to 500,000 years old. Then we have the Venus of Hohlfels. Now we're going to Upper Paleolithic now. The first two were lower. So Hohlfels, she was found in Hohlfels Cave in Germany in 2008. She is believed to be 38,000, from 38,000 to 33,000 BCE. Again, discovered in 2008 in the Hohlfels Cave in Germany. She's carved from mammoth ivory. Yeah. Ice Age stuff. She stands 2.4 inches tall. Look how intricate she is. She's one of the most detailed and iconic examples of Venus figurines, with prominent breasts and hips emphasizing fertility. Her age, dating back to 38,000 to 33,000 BCE, puts her firmly in the Upper Paleolithic period. Spiritual practices at the time would have been likely involved fertility rituals that honored the feminine as a life-giving force. The Venus of Hohlfels could have been used to invoke the blessings for fertility, both women and crops, essential for the survival of the harsh ice age environment. Isn't that amazing? I think the detail on this one is fantastic. It's so cool. And also, of course, carved from a mammoth ivory. Then we have the Venus of Gallenberg. She was found in Gallenberg, Austria in 1988. Her estimated age is 30,000 BCE. So the spiritual significance, she was carved from serpentine stone. She's 2 inches tall. She has exaggerated female features, particularly around the breasts and abdomen, and is thought to have symbolized fertility, like so many. The figurine is believed to date back to around 30,000 BCE and is among the earliest examples of symbolic female depictions in art. Spiritual practices during this time likely centered on fertility and renewal of life, focusing on the cyclical nature of the seasons and the need for survival through the seasons of reproduction or cycles of reproduction. Pretty amazing, right? And then we have the Venus of Dolny Vestiance. She was found in 1925 in the Czech Republic. Estimated age 26,000 to 24,000 BCE. And she is unique because she's made from fired clay. This one is not cut from rock, which I think is amazing. Now, fired clay, gotten hot enough, vitrifies into stone, essentially. And so, but that means that she would have been had to have been fired in some kind of a kiln that fired probably more than 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit to vitrify to the degree that she has survived for 26,000 years. Because of her large breasts and rounded belly, she's figured to be a fertility symbol. So the discovery of her, she was in a communal settlement that suggests early spirituality in this region revolved around rituals, possibly invoking fertility, not just for individuals, but for the group as a whole. This figurine could have been a part of rituals that honored the earth's fertility, ensuring a prosperous community. I think everything about Dolny is so fascinating. The fact that she is kiln-fired, that she was made from clay. There was more of her. Then, of course, the Venus of Willendorf. We discussed her last week. She was found in Willendorf, Austria, in 1908. She is approximately from 24,000 BCE. She is one of the most famous and well-known Venus figurines. She stands 4.3 inches tall, making her about twice the size as most of the effigies that we've found. She's carved from limestone. She has exaggerated female characteristics, including large breasts, hips, and a rounded belly. She is thought to represent fertility and motherhood. The absence of facial features may point to the idea that it symbolized the archetype of the Great Mother, a goddess associated with life, creation, and sustenance. Her small size suggests she may have been carried as a talisman or used in rituals to invoke fertility. Just amazing. And then we have the Venus of Lespieux. She was found in Lespieux, France, in 1922, from approximately 25,000 BCE. So she was found in southwestern France. She was carved from ivory and is very detailed, as you can see. Like with other Venuses, of course, she's the female form and has large breasts and hips. Her highly detailed craftsmanship indicates the people of the time held a sophisticated understanding of the human body and the spiritual significance. Spiritual practices surrounding this figurine would have likely focused on the celebration of fertility, as well as focused on the celebration, or sorry, as well as the connection between the feminine and life-giving forces of nature. But yeah, ivory in this one. Okay, the Venus of Brassempouy, also found in France in 1894. And look how spectacular her face is. Look at this. I think it's interesting that so many of them are indicated with some kind of braid. Almost all of them have braided hair, if you can see a detail in the hair. She was also found in southwestern France. She's a fragmentary carving of a woman's head made from ivory again. She's one of the oldest known depictions of the human face, with details of the forehead and hair. And again, the hair looks, this is how they symbolized braids, like the Venus of Willendorf, the same. Her spiritual significance could lie in representation of an ancestor or goddess, emphasizing the importance of memory, wisdom, and the honoring of feminine power. The Venus of Brassempouy could have been part of a ritual honoring the feminine principle as a source of divine guidance. Yeah. Fascinating, right? Okay. The Venus of La Salle, also found in France in 1911, 25,000 BCE. This was a limestone relief sculpture found in 1911 in southwestern France. It shows a woman holding a bison horn, emphasizing both fertility and the importance of the hunt. The Venus of La Salle is significant because it links the feminine to both the nurturing aspect of motherhood and the power of the hunt. Spiritual practices in this region would have been focused on ensuring both human fertility and the abundance of animals, reflecting the community's dependence for both agriculture and hunting practices for survival. Almost all of these effigies are believed to link back to fertility in some way, which does make a lot of sense. But I find it interesting that this one also links back to the hunt. And the last one, also from France, linked actually back to the idea of divine guidance or divine wisdom. This is the Venus of Savignano. She was found in Savignano, Italy in 1987. Again, she's Upper Paleolithic. She's not dated, so but Upper Paleolithic, a lot of them we're finding was somewhere right around 25,000 BCE. So we know less about her, but we do know she follows the same patterns as other Venus figures. She represents fertility and feminine, likely. Her presence in Italy speaks to the widespread reverence for the feminine across Europe, with early spiritual practices centered on fertility, the cycles of nature, and honoring life-giving forces. But look at all the detail in her. And then we have these two. These are the last two. These were both found in Russia. Kostensky and Gagarino, Russia. So Kostensky was found in the 50s. Gagarino was found in the 20s. They are both somewhere between 24,000 to 27,000 BCE. They are co one of them. Oh, good Lord. They're carved from bone and ivory. They represent the feminine aspects of life. Kostensky is especially notable for her small size and detailed features. Spiritual practices in these regions would have mirrored those of Western Europe, focusing on fertility and sustaining power of women. These figurines likely played a central role in rituals that celebrated both life and survival. Pretty amazing. I think it's just important and pretty amazing to consider the way spirituality has evolved over time. And, in the last 2,000 years, Christianity has essentially taken over, and not just Christianity, but male-based deities. And I think it's important for us all to remember that that's not always the way it has been. And I think these things are important. When I was a kid, being raised in Mormonism, we were always taught that there was a Heavenly Mother as a counterpart to Heavenly Father, but that Heavenly Mother we didn't speak of because God didn't want us to take her name in vain, so we weren't allowed to know her. That was the answer. But I've always thought about how women have a need to connect with female deities, right? To the idea of women, of the divine feminine. I think it's why so many people connect with Mother Mary and female angelic fi figures and things like that. But to me, the idea of goddess worship or connecting to the divine feminine or to spirituality in a feminine form feels better to me. It feels right to me. So I always find these things really, I think, comforting and interesting to talk about and study. All right, so moving on in Luminous this week, Kelly wrote an article about water, the gendered burden of our most necessary human need. She has some fascinating work going on here, looking at water and the way water has, and water equality has become a challenge on our planet, and what women are doing about it. It's a great article. She has a podcast coming up about it, but right now, the article is here for you to read and think about, and then she'll have an episode about that for us next week. But Kelly, I love it. I'm fascinated. So for that reason, I put up my tip of the week is my affirmative water charging. I've talked about this lots of times, but being that water is the number one component on this planet, as well as on our bodies, in our bodies, we are mostly water, as well as the earth. Charging water, blessing water, makes all of the sense. I mean, we've all seen the studies, we've all seen the science behind the fractals of speaking kindly to water versus not, intending kindly to water versus not, just the way it changes its crystalline structure, which is a really fascinating dive down the rabbit hole all in itself. But if ever you thought that you wanted to just be able to bless yourself or your world in some way, maybe even some simple way, why not water? Water is life-giving. Water is essential. And water is all of us. So, a simple way would be to just take your water bottle or your glass and hold it into your heart and speak an affirmation into it. Visualize the water absorbing your intention and drink it to internalize positive energy and intentions. So maybe you hold your water into your heart and you say, I am whole. I am powerful. I am well. I am blessed. I am abundant. I am everything I should be. Whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever it is that you need, consider blessing your water to get there. On a larger scope, what about blessing the water on the planet? What about meditating and meditating to all water, or maybe to a specific body of water, or maybe even visiting a specific body of water that your heart's being called to, and standing in it or near it, and filling it up with your intentions. Filling it up with your best energy, your best affirmations for the good of the world. There's a lot of work that could be done with water, that should be done with water for the betterment of our planet. What if it was just for peace? I mean, how many times have you heard someone say throughout your life, what is in the water? Or it must be in the water. Right? Because everybody's acting like this, or everybody's feeling this way, or everyone's having their baby today, or whatever it is, or everyone's getting pregnant, or whatever. But you know, that's it. That's an old adage that it must, something's in the water, that everybody's acting like this, or whatever it is. There's a lot to consider about water and our connection to all of us. Christy's energy exercise this week is Gaia grounding. Many of you may feel like you need a little extra grounding this week. Coming up on a full moon, Well, okay, how weird is that? My internet went down briefly. Okay, well, we're back. Sorry that. I was scrambling on my phone trying to get StreamYard up on my phone so I could tell you at least what happened, but I don't know if it's going to hold for me, but for now, we're back. No, it wasn't you, Laura. It was on my end. How weird. Okay, well, boo, but oh well. Let's see. I'm gonna jump in both chat rooms. I do have a few minutes for readings open today. Laura, I saw you had a request. I'll get to you for sure. But if anybody else has any needs for me today, this would be a good time. Okay, Laura said she needs some healing on her left hip and buttocks area. She said, I think I sat weird in the car, but it's really painful, especially at night. Oh, yeah, let's take a little look. Yeah, you're out of whack. A trip for some body work would be very worth it at this point. Either get a massage or even a little PT to align those hips or a little chiropractic to align those hips, but I will do what I can from an energetic place. Okay. All right. So I did some grounding and just shifted the energy that was stuck kind of up in there and not flowing correctly through your root to help it to flow. And then I'm going to call in the ethereal properties of aquamarine and silver and just put a big chi ball all the way into that hip to help cool that inflammation. And yeah, if I were you, I would think about some body work to just help work that out quicker. It'll work itself out over time, likely, but you know, why suffer? Okay, so that is done. Okay. Lillian wants to know if her 75th will be good. 75th birthday, my friend. Okay. I mean, short answer, yeah. Let's pull a few cards for your birthday. And happy upcoming Leo birthday. Next week is also my sister Kara's birthday. Her birthday's on the 10th. And we are going to Salt Lake next week to a Cyndi Lauper concert to celebrate her birthday and mine. So that should be fun. We have ordered feathers for our hair and blue eyeshadow and Christy even bought a packet of jelly bracelets. Okay, well, apparently my internet doesn't want to carry me today, so I popped back in on my phone just to let you know. I think I'm just going to call it for today, and then next week we'll come on back. So, Lillian, I'll read for you for your birthday next week, I promise. And sorry, you guys, I don't know what's going on with the internet today, but it's not feeling me. So that's where I'm going to end it. So thank you so much for being here, you guys. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Have a good week.